Welcome to the MSI Insights That Matter podcast series, where we provide a deep dive look at key research and market trends in the emerging areas of healthcare, life sciences, medical devices, and beyond. And MSI recently released a new study that gains insights into how Americans feel about the remote monitoring of health, which provides key insights for biotech and healthcare companies looking to expand their footprints into this emerging arena. And the big takeaway is that Americans view remote health favorably. But there's much more to this study, which is why we are speaking with Mike Heiberger, who is a senior vice president at MSI, and Brian Ibarvia, who's the director of research management at MSI, who will break down the results of this study for us further today. And Mike and Brian, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Matt. Great to be here.
Thanks, Matt. Good to be here.
Yeah, likewise. Great to have you both. And before we really dive into the study results, if you don't mind, tell us when the study was fielded, responses, demographics, all that good stuff. And we'll go with Brian on this one.
Sure, Matt. So one of the findings from our recent medical care delay study was that during the past year, half of American adults had a medical care appointment switch from in-person to telehealth over the phone or video conferencing. And we knew that remote patient monitoring was growing, and obviously the pandemic accelerated its use, but we wanted to get a sense of how close we are to it becoming a common practice. So just some background, Matt, in 2016, 7 million patients used some sort of remote device to monitor their health. And in 2020, that number jumped to over 23 million. And experts expect that number to grow to 30 million by 2024. So with all that as background, we wanted to get a sense of what's the propensity of people accepting remote medical care. We interviewed 300 American adults across the country and asked them about, one, their willingness to have their health monitored remotely, and then two, do they have a preference, whether it's a wearable device or implanted device that's being used. We asked them which indicators they're most likely to allow their physician to monitor via remote devices. And then finally, we asked them about perceived benefits, concerns with remote health monitoring devices.
Okay, great. Great rundown there. Sounds like, as always, like our last one, you have a comprehensive approach and lots of people participated in this. And of course, let's dive into the big question. How do Americans view remote health based on what you found in the study?
Yeah, so we asked them straight up, rate your favorability towards remote health monitoring. And 4 out of 5 said that they were very or somewhat favorable. And nearly half indicated they were very favorable.
Okay. Yeah, that's a pretty interesting stat right there. Now, in terms of the bigger picture, this seems like this would be great news for remote monitoring device manufacturers and other industry players in this niche space. And Mike, would love to hear your take on what this data means for them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the opportunity is huge. I mean, you have to sort of think that the COVID-19 is sort of jump-started in a way remote monitoring of health. I mean, we're all used to some sort of remote something in our lives these days, remote learning with our kids, remote work for many of us who are now in home offices or even moving out of the cities and working in rural settings to remote shopping. So a lot of online shopping has been proliferating. So why not remote monitoring of health? I mean, it's kind of a natural progression. But at the same time, as we dive into the data, widespread acceptance is not going to be without its challenges. For instance, we found that older folks, our survey population, were a little less favorable, so a little less sort of engaged and enthusiastic about remote devices, either implants or wearables, compared to younger respondents. And that's probably has to do with just technology comfort in general. But on the positive side, those that have had some sort of medical condition that requires regular monitoring, favorability is much higher among those folks than those that have not had the need. So really, need will potentially drive a more widespread acceptance as well. And that has an implication of definitely needing to sort of educate the patient population by remote monitoring device manufacturers.
All right. Great insights there. Thanks, Mike. And Brian, let's dive in a little bit more into some of the data. So what were some of the care areas overall that people were more receptive to when it comes to remote monitoring?
Right, Matt. So I think Mike alluded to this, that Americans were most receptive to remote monitoring when it comes to health indicators related to ongoing treatment or chronic conditions. So 2/3 of Americans say that they're likely to allow physicians to monitor their blood pressure, their heart rate, blood sugar, blood oxygen.
Okay. Yeah, interesting stuff right there. And Mike, that kind of begs the question. So it makes sense that the ongoing care stuff, they'd be more receptive to that. But really, there's probably many, many other areas of remote monitoring that could be explored now well into the future. And would love your take on that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the survey gives us some indication on that as well, right? So the things that you're just talking about, blood pressure monitoring, heart rate, blood sugar, blood ox, things like that, or really just monitoring vital signs. And I think that's a little bit more acceptable to the general population of patients out there. But the kinds of monitoring to get a little deeper, disease progression, range of motion, surgical healing, how that's progressing, those kinds of things are not as common. And yet when we cut the data here by those that have some sort of medical condition that requires monitoring, those types of things are much more acceptable to that population. So again, it's sort of almost a seeing is believing type of approach. So if you're dealing with a potential issue or a particular issue, I should say, then you're going to be much more open to having some type of remote monitoring to make sure that things are okay, that the treatment is progressing nicely, or that things aren't getting worse in your condition.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. And then Brian, I know the study also broke down perceptions around remote monitoring devices versus implants, and would love to hear more about that.
Yeah, so we asked them the question, would you prefer wearable versus implanted devices? And overwhelmingly, 65% of American adults picked the wearables, while 17% picked implants, and then the remaining 18% were undecided. Something a little interesting is that among the people who preferred wearables, 38% said they would switch to an implant if accuracy was proven to be higher. And while less than 20% preferred implants overall, we did see that there's a potentially higher take rate among the young age cohorts between 18 and 34-year-olds, about 27%, and among people in households with income of $100,000 or more, about 28% preferring implants. So then the next question was, what are the potential benefits and perceived concerns with remote monitoring? When it comes to benefits, convenience was mentioned most by 43%. And then things like efficiency, control over personal health, and more accurate monitoring were mentioned by just under 40%. Conversely, when we asked about the concerns, nearly half mentioned accuracy as a concern, as well as complications caused by the device, reliability of the device, and potentially higher costs of care. Those who preferred wearables were, not surprisingly, much more likely to have these concerns than those preferring implants. But I think it's a little bit interesting to note that those who preferred implants, who seem to be the most positive towards this new technology, that they're slightly more likely to believe that the care, quality of care, will actually go down. And so perhaps there's an indication that despite, you know, lower quality of care or some drawbacks, they see the positives outweigh those potential concerns.
Wow. Yeah. Thanks, Brian. There's a lot to unpack on that one right there. And Mike, I'm going to throw the challenging question to you on this one. So what is what Brian was just breaking down in terms of that data? What does that mean for manufacturers and industry players in this space? Where do they go, you know, when it comes to this?
So when it comes to implants, preference for implants, those that have some sort of medical condition are over 3 times more likely to be good with implants as opposed to those that have not. So it's going to be it's kind of a seeing is believing situation. And the implications for medical device companies is they definitely have to educate folks with some statistics on positive outcomes, on the accuracy of the technology. As Brian mentioned, that's certainly a concern that pops up in the survey. So as long as there's some sense of security around the reliability of these devices, more people will be likely to be okay with them, especially those that are experiencing some type of condition that requires regular monitoring. We do see that implants are more acceptable among the younger folks than older age population. So again, I think the general perception and comfort with technology is at play here. So that's going to be another concern that the medical device companies are going to have to address. Simplicity, ease of use, those kinds of things. You know, if there's a concern over the user have to do something to make this technology work, there's going to be a big fear and concern among the older population. So that is definitely going to need to be addressed as well.
All right, great. Well, I appreciate your guys taking the time today to speak with us about the study. My last question was really about concerns that were uncovered in the study, and I think we covered off on that. So I'm going to pivot a little bit here. So for the last final question, is there any parting shots, anything we may have missed, any gold nuggets here at the very end for our listeners? And we'll go with Brian first on that.
Yeah, Matt, I think two things probably come to mind. One is, to what extent are patients willing to sacrifice quality of care for convenience, right? And we saw that those who preferred implants were more likely to acknowledge that there's a potential lower quality in care. But like we said, that the positives may outweigh those drawbacks. And the other thing that I was thinking about is, you know, as manufacturers try to forecast the market for remote monitoring devices, you know, was 2020 an anomaly, or did that really open the door for adoption rates to rise? Or conversely, it, you know, as we return to quote unquote normal, are people going to be less receptive to remote monitoring and want to see their doctor in person?
Yeah, interesting. Great parting shots there. Mike, any last thoughts here?
Yeah, I totally agree with what Brian is saying. It's something that in the short run needs to be monitored very closely to see, you know, is this a blip that's due to COVID or sustainable? Or, well, in either case, medical device companies are going to need to be looking at this as a long-term strategy, especially when you look at those numbers by age. Right. So there's just much more comfort in technology with regard to specifically what we're talking about with remote health monitoring. There's already an acceptance for wearables, a higher acceptance for implants among the younger population. And you can really just see the trend line go as age goes up, that comfort level goes down. So meaning that years from now, when the younger population, as we all age and become more susceptible to conditions that require regular monitoring and treatment, that age cohort is going to be much more acceptable to medical devices. So it may be a tough battle in the short run to get folks that are experiencing, the older folks that are experiencing these conditions, to be comfortable with this technology. In the long haul, that battle sort of already won because of the comfort level that younger folks already have with technology in all aspects of their life. This is just one additional aspect that they'll be willing to deal with.
All right, excellent. Well, this concludes this episode of the MSI Insights That Matter podcast series, where we provide a deep dive look at key research and market trends in the emerging areas of healthcare, life sciences, medical devices, and beyond. And as you heard, today we spoke with Mike Heiberger, who's the Senior Vice President at MSI, and Brian Ibarvia, who's the Director of Research Management at MSI. And as you heard, they both provided a deep dive look at MSI's new study about how Americans feel about the remote monitoring of health. And Mike and Brian, thank you so much for your time today.
Our pleasure.
Thanks, Matt.